Great to have you along with us here. Hopefully the rain and thunderstorms will hold off until everybody gets off work and gets home, and then you can all gather together as a large family and watch them as they do their thing. Or Dancing with Stars, whichever comes first. In an opinion piece to Bishop Mandell Creighton back in 1887, Lord Acton. Remember Lord Acton? Famously and quotably wrote, "Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely." It was some years later, in a Washington, D.C. brew pub, that notorious writer on matters of freedom and liberty, James Bovard, said to then local talk show host Brian Wilson, "Power corrupts. Absolute power is kind of sweet." Yes, currently in Barron's Magazine, a editorial commentary, the anti-corruption charade that I mentioned a little bit ago, takes a look at the corrosive and corrupting effect that your tax dollars turn into when American foreign aid is used for looting and not liberating. So I thought, you know, this is pretty pretty swarthy piece. Let's grab a hold of this guy to discuss the smarmy details and kind of oxymoronic realities of what's happening with what was once your money and America's reputation. Author, lecturer, and my personal beer coach, James Bovard. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me on. You know, this is the first time that I've been characterized as swarthy.
Swarthy, so, yes.
Yeah, so I think I might need to Photoshop the photo on the blog.
If you go to Jim's blog, we have to Photoshop that a little bit. We might be able to, you know, maybe put you on, I don't know, who do you think, Don Trump's body? Maybe that would be
Well, I wasn't thinking about somebody else's body. I'm just concerned about the swarthy. I think I might need to work on my blog settings.
Oh, well, okay, let's do that then. Let's do that. Let's talk about this this anti-corruption charade. It was really cool as Jim brings out in his column. We have a new word to add to our vocabulary for those of you who are students of this stuff. As Jim points out, in much of the world, governing is a synonym for looting. Now, readers of Ayn Rand, for example, can appreciate when it comes to your white bread everyday looting governments do daily. But what is the broader and more unfortunate effect of these bodacious giveaways, James?
Well, the foreign aid over the last several decades has corrupted much of the world. It's turned bred a generation of kleptocracies, governments of thieves in Africa. And it's been doing the same thing in Afghanistan, especially over the last 8-9 years. And it's been obvious that this is the effect that the economists have even coined words for this. And yet the U.S. government insists on pretending that the U.S. foreign aid is like a magic wand that cures all foreign problems and makes everybody grateful to the United States.
Well, I remember hearing, and you reminded me of it in the piece about how, especially over in Africa, there was so much money sloshing around as the result of Uncle Sam's largesse, aka foreign aid, that just about every 20 feet you had a Mercedes dealership.
Well, it made me sad. I didn't invest in Mercedes back then, but it worked out very well. It's the same thing in the Washington D.C. area right now, practically. So because there's so much money sloshing around here that's been plucked out of the wallets and paychecks of people in Ohio and elsewhere.
Now, so what do you think? You walk down the street and you refer to some guy as Wabenzi. How do you think that would work out?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know if they'd understand I don't know, Brian. How about that?
Well, what happened, if you read the piece, if you didn't read the piece, you don't know that Jim brought up the point that thanks to the proliferation of Mercedes-Benz in Africa, thanks to your tax dollars, the Swahili came up with a word, Wabenzi, men of the Mercedes-Benz. Sounds like a commercial. But they did that. I suppose that's all still going on, Jim.
Yes. No, Brian, no, the problem was fixed last year. That's why I wrote this story, you know. No, this is a government success story. They've turned around. Thank God for Obama and all those good people.
Well, you see, I thought with the collapse of the housing market and things along that order, maybe we would have made some cutbacks, but obviously not. Are we to understand that, or to suppose that these big bucks called foreign aid arrive with no serious strings attached other than for the gifted government to be nice to American interests? Is that the way it pretty much rolls out?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, there are lots of different ways that the U.S. government tries to portray this foreign aid. Almost all of them are dishonest or deceptive. Bottom line is that foreign aid is simply walking around money for the Secretary of State sometimes. I mean, you know, it guarantees him a regal reception when he arrives overseas, but it'd be a hell of a lot cheaper simply to buy a red carpet and take it along with him when he flies when she flies someplace, roll out the red carpet and she can act like she's doing, you know, like she's the Queen of Sheba. There are so many different ways that U.S. Money handouts drag down foreign countries, and Afghanistan's really bad because U.S. aid has helped make Afghanistan the most corrupt country in the world.
Well, how could that possibly be? Because as you point out in your piece, Hamid Karzai gave his personal assurances that foreign and aid would be properly spent. I like this one, and I want to ask you about this. You quote him in your piece. We have to promise that we will not cheat our own people. Wouldn't you think a government with any integrity wouldn't have to promise to not cheat its own people?
Well, I mean, this is for the benefit of the foreign donors. It doesn't really have anything to do with the Afghan people. But the thing that's funny is Karzai said this in 2002, just prior to that's right around the U.S. time, the U.S. government made him the viceroy of Afghanistan, or maybe there's a better term for it, but basically put him in the seat of power so he could be their front man, their puppet. And it was funny to come across that quote when I was researching this, because it's kind of like, you know, gee, it didn't seem to work out that way.
Yeah, not working out too well at all. But the you cite the figure of $50 billion with a B dollars that's gotten into Afghanistan since when that speech in 2002.
Yeah, since the late fall 2001 when the U.S. toppled the Taliban.
Okay.
It was interesting because the U.S. acted as if all they had to do to make Afghan prosperous and virtuous was to throw money at all these warlords and government officials and weasels, and all of a sudden everything would work out well. But I mean, it worked out as about as well as HUD throwing money at Fannie Mae or throwing money at some of the mortgage operators. So,
well, I thought that's where they got the idea. I mean, it certainly worked so well here with those. Look at the war on drugs. What a great success that's been.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's that's worked out well for Afghanistan. That's their number one export, except for stolen foreign aid money.
Well, foreign aid money and poppy seeds. I mean, you know, it sounds like a cash crop to me, no matter how you slice it. Tell us about the voracity effect.
This is a term coined by economists back in the 1990s, and it was this was to characterize what happens when a flood of foreign aid goes into a country. Basically, it makes the politicians act more like wolves because they just start stealing everything in sight, and it can profoundly change the character of a government. And this has happened. It was very clear in Africa, and now it's becoming very clear in Afghanistan and some other places that we've doused with aid in recent years. The U.S. government pretends this doesn't happen, but I'm just amazed. Well, this is an interesting thing because the average person in Ohio probably understands foreign aid better than the average stooge in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, well, that's the rumor. But what about the when you talk about how this is all going down in Afghanistan and all the rest of that? The you would think that kind of money would have bought enough loyal. Well, hell, we should own Afghanistan right now. It ought to be our 57th state.
Well, you would think that, but if the money cycled off to some of the Persian Gulf, you know, places where they park the money and things like that. The thing that struck me with foreign aid spurred corruption, it's been a huge factor in turning average Afghans against the Karzai government. This has helped spur support of the Taliban, and U.S. foreign aid policies there have probably helped get some American soldiers killed.
Well, that's not good. But I thought when
that's
it came,
true. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but when you cite that there was a study done over there, some sort of a poll or whatever, and Afghanistan's whatever declared, quoting your piece, that the pervasive corruption was helping the Taliban's revival, speaking of the corruption that was born of this foreign aid money. I would have thought the drones were doing pretty well at this.
That's true. But it may be, well, yeah, there are a number of factors that have helped the Taliban, and it's one of the tragedies is a lot of average Afghans have contempt for the Taliban's values and their theology and their intolerance, but they've been driven to distraction by the looting and raping by a lot of these folks that are collecting U.S. foreign aid.
So they're caught. So your average man on the street in Afghanistan is caught between the two corrupt elements. You got the Taliban on one side and all the things that they stand for, and then you've got the corrupt people that have the power and titles and standings within the government on the other.
Right, but it's unfortunate with the way it's perceived. You're right about how the Karzai allies and the warlords and others are perceived, but unfortunately, an apparent advantage the Taliban have is that they're not corrupt, or that they are not nearly as corrupt as the Karzai folks.
No. Well, so much for Afghanistan, but we're certainly doing well in Egypt.
it's interesting. For all these years, since the late 1970s, we've heard how U.S. foreign aid is going to help Egypt turn around. It didn't. And then, a month or two ago, you have the dictator there scoot out of the country, and then he's got maybe $40 billion in his personal fortune, which is roughly equivalent to all the U.S. foreign aid provided to Egypt over the last few decades. And it was obvious, it's been obvious for a long time, that there's horrendous looting there. And yet the U.S., simply because Egypt, does what the U.S. wants and sometimes tortures people the U.S. once tortured, it's fine.
So I guess all the reports during those demonstrations and so on over there in Egypt, this was not the democracy breaking out. This was not a We Love Uncle Sam party in actuality. Things didn't turn out quite that way despite the reports from the mainstream media.
Well, I mean, I never had the impression that the demonstrators were pro-American. I think there's a lot of bitterness there because a lot of Egyptians feel that the U.S. put their stooge in place and helped him keep his boot on the necks of a lot of Egyptians. So, every now and then the leader would promise to have an election or something like that, but it was all a bunch of hokum. So, but it didn't matter because the U.S. Liked to play a kingmaker. So.
Well, is there any place that that you came across? We talked about Afghanistan, Egypt, and generally throughout the different parts of the world. Have we bought any real friends with this money anywhere? Is this foreign aid?
Yeah. It's worked out really well for a lot of the banks. It's worked. Oh. There's a lot of affection that the Swiss banks have for the U.S. government. Because because the Swiss bank tends to get the funds when it gets cycled through in the secret accounts, and there's probably a lot of appreciation about some of the large American multinational banks as well, because I think that they've profited massively from some of these shams.
Well, that's encouraging, because I didn't want to have all that money going to waste, Jim.
Well, that's true. I mean, and the thing that would be even worse than wasting the money was it might make people cynical.
No, I don't think that. I think after you and me, there isn't enough cynicism left in the world to spread around to anybody else. You know?
Well, I'm just sorry that I haven't found a way to convert into silver.
I know. It's the way it is. But, like you said years ago, it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you place the blame.
And that's
I think we tried to make that into a bumper sticker. But as you say in the article, foreign aid will continue to be toxic as long as politicians continue to be politicians. And it looks like we're pretty much SOL on that one.
Right. And there was a big move in the early part of the George W. Bush administration to create a new type of foreign aid that would give bonuses to foreign governments that promised to steal less.
Did they get a toaster too?
Yes. But like every other foreign aid reform, that turned into a farce, and they found reasons to give money to some of the most corrupt governments in the world, And Bush kept funding a lot of the most corrupt governments with his other foreign aid programs. So that fell apart, and now we're going to have some chance are that Obama's going to make some more promises on foreign aid. But we've been hearing this crap for decades. The program is still a national disgrace and a curse on a lot of the third world, and yet they keep doing it. It makes no sense.
Well, I think we're moving up maybe to the second world, because the latest is that Obama's going to bail out Greece. So you'll be able to get plenty of feta cheese and things like olive oil at discount rates after that's done with.
Well, I'm holding out for good hummus.
No doubt. Well, it's a great look at a subject that really doesn't get a whole lot of attention. I mean, after all, when you can watch the media display their ignorance about something as convoluted as the ride of Paul Revere, why spend any time reading about foreign aid in Barron's? Well, there's a couple of good reasons right here.
Yeah, or something even more important, that might be some middle-aged lady who shows her panty in the Country Music Awards. So,
yeah, well, there's that. But
Sheryl Crow.
Was she middle-aged? I don't know if she was middle-aged.
Well,
was
she middle-aged? Well, she's 49.
Oh, okay. Well, it's better than a middle-aged congressman, flashing his shorts around the country. There's that.
Well, you know, I'm just sorry I didn't sign up for his tweets.
Tweets. And you said you're so close to Washington right there. I would have figured that folks in your part of town would have gotten those things just as part of paying your taxes.
Well, I've always had different preferences in art.
No doubt. Jim, thanks for the time and for the look. Always an education.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Brian. It was a hoot.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Jim Bovard, the anti-corruption charade. We'll give you a few more rounds of ammunition in your understanding of current events and battling back the boundaries of ignorance, as Walter says. Jim Bovard, author of Attention Deficit Democracy. It's in Barron's on the editorial section. We're